I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. Bless you, brother. Love you, baby. How do you want to see you?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We was going to have Brother Tom, but he decided to go on down to Florida. So we just left him with a choice if he wanted to come and preach. But he said he'd go on down into Florida and get everything done. But you'll have to put up with me tonight. So that'd be all right. If you'd like, turn in your scripture, turn where we've been reading from John 3. And then we will go to 1 John 5. John 3 and 1 John 5. Remember now, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. So remember that and be much in prayer that the Lord would be with all of us and come and be with us and have a good time. Any other announcements? I generally forget some. I didn't get it. Somebody tell me. Oh, yeah, the subject is going to be tithing. Yeah, we're going to have a subject on this one. Yeah, tithing, right, you know, that, where you put the money in and I get it. You know, that kind of tithing. And while you're laughing, let me say something to you that's going to be embarrassing. But now, brothers, in the urinal in the bathroom, the water's supposed to go in the middle of it, you know, and out, not all over the wall and the floor, so... how about watching that, all right? You find a lot of puddles, you know, and that's embarrassing for a preacher to have to bring it out here, but maybe you'll listen to it if I say it, you know. Amen. John 3, 1 John 5, and we'll pray before we read. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask you to just bless each and every one of us in your love. Just have your way with us tonight. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and let your love be made manifest in each one of our hearts and lives. We love you, and we thank you, and we ask you to just, Lord, have your way with us as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts, because we want to do the best that we can do, and then depend upon you to be the answer to everything. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. All right, and then we'll go over to 1 John 5. Read verse 6 through 8. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth. Excuse me, did I read that right? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now watch it. And there are three that bear witness. One is a record, the other one is a witness. One's in heaven, the other one is here on the earth, all right? There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these things agree in one. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been talking about what is the new birth. You know, and you can ask most people, you can ask churches, you know, what is the new birth? And one will tell you it's this, and one will tell you it's that, and the other will tell you the other things, and whatever it is, you will have many, many different answers. And so is it with the people of the message or the hour that you ask them and you listen to them and you go to this church and they'll teach it one way and this church that way, and all about one thing, which is the new birth. But, you know, I want us to think on these things and to be able to see the importance of it, and then, you know, see whether or not you have the new birth. All right? And we tried to cover our Sunday in a lengthy service in the afternoon. I'm sorry, but it was a little lengthy, but yet trying to get a point to you to show the, what would you call it, the overlay or whatever of Brother Branham's message and the Bible, to show that it verifies that your new birth begins when you repent. Justification, see? Repentance, and your new birth begins right there. All right, now that doesn't mean that you stop. If you stop at that point, you got a problem. But then you got sanctification, where that you're going to the cleansing and setting aside of the vessel. All right, and then you come down to the basis of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the birth. All right, now that way we want to cover it to keep it in line, because like I tried to explain, Brother Branham is preaching an overall message to people, and he's trying to explain a lot of things and trying to get his message across. And he said, I've always, on the future home there, two times he said, I've always taught three stages of grace. Well, all right, then we have to stay with that to be able to follow it. And I just wrote a couple of these off, and we don't have them now for the viewing there, but on paragraph 113 of the Sign of the Times, 63:11-13, he said it's three stages of grace, but said really it's three stations. You call it stations there, all right? In the message called Hidden Life, 55:10-06, three steps are dispensations. See? Now he's calling it a dispensation. And he says we are in the last dispensation, all right? Now, and then we've got him naturally on paragraph 78 and paragraph 86 of the future home, where he said he believed in the three stages and had taught that from the beginning. Right. All right. But now when he'll say that you are born again, and talking about justification, remember that you have to cover that away, because how else could you cover it? Because if he didn't say it that way, it would leave out Wesley and Luther and all of them down through there. So he has to bring it in the order to try to cover it. All right. But we believe in this day that we have to have this three stages, because that's like the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. The water, the blood, the life, you know, which is the natural things coming forth and doing that. And now, I stirred some thoughts Sunday afternoon there, and I hope to keep stirring them to get you to think. Because I want to tell you the truth and all, but, you know, I tried to express to you a little bit about the new birth. And you know, a lot of people think the new birth is just they'll come to the altar and they just pray through right there. Well, that's wonderful. I believe in that. I gave you scripture to show you that the 3,000 you know, that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Now the 3,000 outside, they went through the three stages right there. But it took the disciples 3.5 years to be tutored, you know, because there was no Holy Ghost been given until it was in Jesus Christ. All right. But it took them that time. And I told you that I believe that, you know, and I tell you, now listen to what I'm saying. Now you say, well, Brother Dale, when you say this, well, no, I'm saying what I mean. I believe you can come to the altar and pray right through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Because it's according to your faith, according to what you can believe. All right. But I believe, too, that most people will not do it. That it takes time, it takes the doings, but still, no matter what now, you've got to go through today three stages or steps or dispensations or stations or whatever you want to call it to be born again. All right? Because we're in the climax of it all to tie everything together. All right? So then you've got to have those three. And I believe and did experience my own self, so that's the one reason I believe it. But I believe that each step of the new birth is a station or a place or a dispensation or a time. And, you know, it's something you're going through. All right? A birth means coming forth into. All right? Now, then in doing that, then sometimes it takes time. I referred to Brother Gary Atkins, and we talked a little bit about it, because he was about 1 year in his experience of seeking after God, and you've heard me tell it thousands of times that I was 2 years when I came into this message. I was I had received what I thought was salvation when I was about 18 years old, and I believe it was a work of God, and I believe God cleansed me up and took away a lot of the desires I had and things like that. But when I saw what the prophet was saying about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I realized I didn't have it. And for 2 years now, I studied the message, and you've heard me even tell of reading 6 books a day and listening to 2 tapes, you know, in 1 day. And that was not just 1 day of doing it. I would do it all the time. Brother Colley can witness to that, because he would sit right there with me. I'd sit down in an old chair right in his place where he worked, and we'd talk for hours, and I'd read for hours, you know, and do it. But I was still seeking God until one day I received an experience that I felt agreed with what the Bible and what the prophet had been trying to describe as the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Shouting is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We read where the prophet said a lot of people shouted, and I put it back in here tonight, that a lot of people shouted and didn't get the Holy Ghost. A lot of people believed and didn't get the Holy Ghost. A lot of people spoke in tongues and didn't get it. All right? So then there's a difference. And now here's one I want you to think about. And I gave it to Brother Joe and them to pull up. And sometimes when I do that, you look over the side, you'll see ones, and then on the other side, you'll see 1A. So go ahead and pull up 1A. This is one that comes up when I'm sitting in a study and something clicks, and I say, well, I better get that one. All right? So now look what he's saying on page 148 of the Smyrna Church Age, which is the Church Age book. All right. Look what he's talking about. Let's stop up here in the beginning. He's talking about how they had the journey and they all came through the same manna and ate of the same manna and was there with a smitten rock and followed the same cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But only two reached the promised land.
That's right.
Only two were true or real believers. That is correct, because the word tells us that the rest died because of unbelief. And because of unbelief, they could not enter in. Hebrews 3:19. Then since that is so, and only two entered, then the rest were not true believers. What made the difference? What's that? Two stayed with the word. When the hearts of the 10 spies failed at Kadesh Barnea, Joshua and Caleb did not stagger, for they believed the word and said, "We are more than able to take the land." They knew they could because God had said it. had said, I have give you the land. After all those Israelites saw the power, the goodness, the deliverance of God, they did not enter into rest, which is a type of the Holy Ghost. So you can see right now that very few will ever believe all the way to receiving the Spirit of God. Now, very few people will believe all the way to receiving the Spirit of God. They may be religious, they may go to church, they may shout, speak in tongues, all kind of things, claim the message of the hour, all kind of things. Amen. Brother Brown said it, they will claim to stay with the old message or something, you know, and try to claim the new birth of the age that we're living in. And you look around, and when we get down to getting into those doctrines that I said I would get to, and it's been kind of slow, but, you know, taking some of the doctrines of the message, you'll find out that a lot of those doctrines were old doctrines way back. Brother Brown said, every doctrine come out of Genesis.
Right. Amen.
All right. Then you'll see that a lot of those doctrines will go back to the Mormons, go back to the Baptists, go back to the Methodists, the things that will show you that that message is where it came from.
Right.
And see, people claim it to be this great revelation, you know, that's come forth in the end time since the prophet brought it. But he said he taught three processes, three stages from the beginning.
Right.
All right? Justification, sanctification,
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That is what constitutes, as we gave them there Sunday, the new birth.
Right.
All right? And doing that, then, I want you to follow with, or to listen to what I'm saying. I believe, then, that very few people... See, he said very few people would believe under receiving. I believe very few people can believe under receiving when they come to the altar the first time. You say, well, I went down and shook the hand of the preacher. I went down and I spoke in tongues. I cried. I shouted. Oh, that's well and good. If it was the new birth.
Amen.
But if not, it was a work of the Holy Spirit. Because justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. See, justification doesn't put the life of God in you. Sanctification cleanses the vessel for the life of God to be placed. But the baptism has to burn out, according to Future Home, all the things that are left and can place the life of God within you to be the new birth. All right. Now, in doing that, then, I want you to follow in with me and think about it. That however it is, if you go to the altar and receive it at one time, wonderful. Get me right. Don't go off and say, Brother Dale ain't saying the truth. Now, you're lying if you do. I'm telling you the best I can. I give you scripture for it. The prophet talks about things. Some people receive and pray through right at one time. See? But mainly, basically, most people don't. All right? Then they have to go through the stages. But if you go through it right there at one time that night, you went through the three stages
Amen.
To get there. Or you didn't get it.
Right.
You didn't get the new birth if you didn't go through three stages.
Right.
Well, all I've done is just come up shouting and screaming. Well, if you did, and it was because you went through the three stages, right. But if you only went into stage one, you can shout like everything. Stage two, you can really shout all over the place. And think you got it. And that's the danger of the point to people is they won't go on and seek God after them.
Right.
All right, here's 18,492 times I've said this. All right. I'd rather seek God all of my life.
Yes, sir.
And get at the end of the journey. And he say, you've had it all along.
Amen.
Than to go through all of my journey not seeking God. And wind up at the end of it and he say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go on with God and keep on seeking God. And I like what Brother Brown said. He said, if I knew the rapture was coming tomorrow, and he said, I was planting potatoes, he said, I'd just go plant potatoes. That's what he said. He said, well, bless God, I'm not. I know people in this message that because of 77, that they just sold out and quit and barred everything they could, where they could live, and well, after 77 passed, they wound up broke. and financial stress and everything else, and then had to live off a lot of other people probably.
Yep.
But see, it's because of what they thought. Because of what they've been taught.
Yep. Amen.
Then for heaven helped, I don't believe we've taught it that way.
Right.
All right. Now, do you understand what I'm saying now? Yeah. I believe you can go all the way through at one time. I believe that. Because they did in the Bible. But I know what Apollos is and all of those different things. They were in a journey. And even, let's see now if I can get this right, and if I quote the names wrong, place it correctly, you do. two of the disciples was even preaching the gospel to a group and couldn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come on the people there in the book of Acts. And they had to go get somebody, went and got John or one other of them, or who was it, Peter or whoever it was, to come down and lay hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. All right? Well, see, everybody thinks you just, you know, well, what do you mean? I shouted, so I know I got it. Well, all right, we're going to find out after a while what the evidence is. And see if that evidence will do it. See, it doesn't matter what we do. We shout, speak in tongues. You could, now, forgive me for taking it, but you could take the life of Brother Branham and the ministry he had and bring it down to the bases and put it in an individual. And if that individual wasn't born again, he's still lost.
Amen.
That's as firm as I believe it. He said, no, because you can't do this, can't do that. People have done it. Thank you, brother. They've done it and wound up still lost. Huh? Yeah, but Brother Dale, you don't understand. I know I got the Holy Ghost because I believe the message. Brother used to tell me, he said, I know I'm going to heaven because I love Brother Ram's family. Well, that's wonderful. But that was the only evidence he had. Now, I'm not going to tear down that evidence. I never told him he was lost. Brother left here, you know, one time because he told me about something. I said, well, that just don't match up. He said, you told me I was lost. I didn't tell him he was lost. I told him what he was saying didn't match the word. Well, if he's standing here right now, tell him the same thing again. Because that's, you know, if our life don't line up.
That's it.
See, people's done away with fruits of the Spirit as being an evidence.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham said the Lord corrected him, straightened him out, and lined up. Right, I agree. We'll read them. Right. But you show me where he ever done away with fruits of the Spirit.
No,
take that out of the Bible. It's gone. Ain't got a page there, you know. No. But if you do all the other and then got the fruits of the Spirit, you're getting lined up good.
Amen. That's right.
But if you just got the fruits of the Spirit, you're not lined up too good because the kind old priest can have it.
That's right.
But the kind old priest cannot receive the word.
Right.
So we're going to get to that, all right? Well, we're going to take it easy getting to there. If I don't get there, I'll get it later. All right? So we went through explaining, or trying to explain, of the fact that in the days of Luther, to just believe, that was the new birth of his age.
Right.
Now, he was already, we would call him a convert. He was a, what do you call him? What's the word for it? It's not monk, is it? What's the word? He was in the monastery. He was going to, he was studying, you know, he was in the Catholic Church, and he was studying the message, and, you know, of what they thought, and all like that. A great high-ranking monk, a great high-ranking man.
Right. Sure.
But one day the Lord spoke to him. See, it was time.
Right.
That might have been okay in the days behind, but something happened, and Martin Luther said, "The just shall live by faith," and he wrote alone on his Bible from what they said. You know, and I wrote it on mine. Just shall live by faith alone.
Right.
All right? But see, that was the message. Then it was required that those who came in contact with Luther to have the new birth of the age was no longer to stay with the Catholicisms that they were dealing with as salvation. The penances, the offerings, the things. And you remember Martin Luther was just about to die from fasting and crawling up on beds and laying on needles and all kind of different things and just tormenting himself to try to appease his soul.
Right.
but he couldn't do it. So then he wound up with the fact of the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Well, now, did that stop Martin Luther from living a good life? He probably fasted more afterward. I'm just saying it that way. He probably afterward fasted more. He probably cried out for the sins of the people and himself more after then than he ever had before. But he got the new birth.
Right.
He got the new birth. Because the birth is the birth of the Word. Now that's what I believe. So I've taught it to you from the beginning, right? I believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. I didn't say the new birth is to read the Word. Or to even say I believe the Word. It's when the Word is revealed to you, quickened to you, made alive to you. That's the new birth. Jesus sowed the Word down for 3.5 years into those disciples' heart. And when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, it quickened that Word that they had held according to the Bible. They took the Word and held it, and it quickened or made it alive. That was the new birth then. So it would be the new birth in every age would be the birth of the Word. Huh? And that's where Brother Brown said people will even deny the birth of the Word. I put it somewhere in my notes. They got sticking somewhere. Yeah, okay. Listen to what he calls the birth of the false prophets will bring false births. It's not on the computer now, so. True prophets will bring the Word. The birth of the Word, Christ. Alright? That's from a message called You Must Be Born Again, 62:12-31, the morning service. Alright? 62:3-18, the spoken word is the original seed. Now for the birth of the Word is Christ. Not of polluted with the denominations. The early church, no denominations, just the Word and Spirit irrigated. Brother, God laid the Word down there like that, and the Holy Spirit irrigated it, and there she went. She brought forth children.
Amen.
Huh? He says on the message, the seed is not ours with the shuck, 65:2-18, referring to Mary, when that Mary denied, you know, and said, your father and I, all right? What did she deny? Pentecost took speaking in tongues. They denied the birth of the Word. That's exactly what it did. It'll take so much of it, but they won't take the rest of it. It denied the birth of the Word, just like Mary did. See, and watch, there's no more organizations to come. Huh? So then deny the birth of the Word. You say, but Brother Dale, I just received... No, you got to have somebody. There's never been anybody receive the new birth that didn't hear the Word. Show me one time, anywhere now. I challenge that up on the basis of anywhere in the Bible or the prophet's message or anywhere. He said, well, I wouldn't hear no preacher. I was reading. Oh, he was reading. I was listening to tape. Oh, you're listening to tape. You're listening to somebody. Because the seed has to come through the body, right? Come on. But see, into that, then look what the prophet goes on to say. Okay, brother, pull up number one. This is a message, How Can I Overcome, 1963, 8:25 in the morning service. And look what he says. This is the age of the life, personal life of Christ, where the chemical of his body, what was in him first under justification. Now, remember the other Sunday I showed where Brother Brown said the things that was in the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ came out was the ability to bring the new birth. The water, the blood, the life. Right? Remember that? Tie it together now. Right? What was in him? First under justification, the water baptism. Second under the new birth of Wesley, sanctification, which cleanses. And thirdly, under the baptism of the Holy Ghost, putting the vessel in the water. So he calls Wesley's message and his birth. The sanctification was a birth.
Amen.
And like I told you the other day, Wesley come along believing Martin Luther's message, came to America to preach to the heathen. Found out he needed to be converted himself.
Right.
Why? Because God was moving into another realm to bring sanctification. All right. So then in that age then, if you said, I believe Luther, well, how come you don't believe what Wesley taught? And we're not talking about the wrong things that they taught. We're talking about the truth.
Right.
All right. So is it when Azusa Street came with the baptism of the Holy Ghost And Brother Branham calls that a great prophet, 464 of the seal book.
Right.
A great prophet came. You say, no, that Brother Branham, no, read the book. Then at the end of the age, the messenger would arrive. Right. The Holy Ghost is the prophet of God.
Amen.
I remember when I was up at Jeffersonville, you know, years ago, started about 68, going there, and they'd say, who's to take over and who's to lead us? Who's the prophet now? Well, Billy Paul got up one day and said, I want to read you something. Brother Brown says right here, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the prophet.
Right.
So I was glad he done that, you know. All right, but now watch. We've been over these, but I want to keep reminding you. Look at number two. Questions and answers on the seal, 63, 324 in the morning service. You see, each one of those ages only taking a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. Look at it. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. Read what he says. No messenger to the age. Who was that? Azusa Street. Because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. Then at the end of the age is when the prophet came on the scene. The baptism of the Holy Ghost that came forth on the day of Azusa Street was the baptism of the Holy Ghost just exactly like the 3,000 in the book of Acts. Not like the 120 in the upper room. I've explained that. They were tutored 3.5 years. The other only heard one message and received the new birth. All right. Now, so where are we putting it all at? You look at the next one, the third seal, which is 1963, 320. But then if the Pentecostal message was the life's message, which justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, the life's three messages, the life's three church ages, forms the complete birth. Then he goes on to explain, read it off there while I'm talking. He's explaining that what comes from Jesus' body is the very substance that brings us to a new birth. Water, blood, spirit, life, right? All right. So now where is it going to? See, then we firmly believe in that each age having the baptism of the Holy Ghost all down through to all seven church ages, and each one of those were born into the kingdom of God, all right? And then it's to return, it was to return back in the day of Azusa Street. Now I'm running a long line across, all right? But to come to where it would require three stages or three steps of grace to be in the body. See, it's returned back like it was in the book of Acts. All right, Azusa Street brought it back like it was in the book of Acts. You say, well, Brother Dale, I don't like that because Azusa Street was, yeah, they were Trinitarians. That's exactly right. Most people don't even know that. The oneness doctrine never started about 1912 or 14, somewhere in there. They were Trinitarians, but that don't make no difference. God winked at our ignorance. And he calls it the prophet. You know what he said? There was no messenger to the age. Then he'll tell you that there was a one-eyed black man was the messenger of that age. Amen. But there's reasons for those things. We've been over that in all of our doing. All right? The new birth has always been the birth of the Word. Now we get into today when you got artificial insemination or what you call that, you know, artificial pregnation, but that don't have nothing to do with the Word of God.
Right.
Every birth is the same.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they take it out of this woman, take it out for that man and put it in another woman and she gives birth. That don't make no difference. It's all still the same. It took the life from the man, the egg from the woman, and it produces a birth.
Right.
It don't matter what they do or whatever you say about it, it comes out to be the same. Every birth is the same.
Amen.
Brother Run said, whether it's in a pink decorated hospital or, you know, or where else,
right,
it's all the same.
Right.
The same thing happens. What? Water comes forth. Blood comes forth. Right? And then the baby comes forth.
Amen.
And just because the baby comes doesn't mean it's alive. It's got to have the birth of life or the breath of life breathed into its nostrils to become a living soul. That's what the new birth is, the birth of the Word, where God has breathed into our nostrils. I read it to you there where he said that they laid that Word down and God come over and irrigated it. Because that's what it takes to make a birth. All right. Yeah. Then that would bring forth the complete birth in this day. Now we go to where Brother Branham was talking about what? The birth of the Word. Jesus sowed the Word, the seed, for the new birth to come. You know what Brother Branham said? John preached justification, Jesus preached sanctification. We've been preaching this for 40 years. We ought to know a lot of the quotes. A lot of you heard it for 40 years. You ought to know what I'm fixing to say next. You say, well, no, don't you? Sanctification is the sowing of the seed. He said, that's when you're begotten. But then the Word was quickened. All right? Then coming by the prophet's message, look what he would say then. Go ahead, brothers. Number four. You know these, but we're just putting them in here. A lot of people don't know them. From the message, Christ the mystery of God revealed, 63:7-28. Look what he says. What is the new birth then? Because you read the other, Christ's life in you. Look, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God is trying to do? What is the new birth then, you'd say? Well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ the Bible, he is the Word that was revealed to you, and no matter what anybody says, what takes place, listen, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. It's the revelation that the church was built upon. But Brother Dale, you're taking away all that I ever had to believe that I saved. Well, good. That means you've got a problem, and you can do something about it. And then you won't wind up at the end of the road saying, all of my life I've kept this as my evidence, and now I find out it's not true. You remember the woman that Brother Branham was talking about, how she taught Sunday school, she'd done all kind of things? Said, but she come to her dying bed and said she was dying. He said her real soul come up before her. And she said, I'm lost. Told the preacher, said, you've lied to me. I'm lost. I said, give her another hypo. In other words, shut her up. Because the preacher didn't know how to pray her through. So he surely didn't want to pray for her no more. I'm just honest. Go on. So then what is it? What is the new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
All right? Now, has he ever revealed himself to you?
Amen.
Or are you just taking what somebody else said?
That's right.
You're taking what you've been taught. Well, Brother Dale, and I realize that. Listen, I was sitting back there thinking a while ago. And I was really kind of talking to the devil. That, you know, for over 100 years, we'll call it Azusa Street. Up to, you know, we're unpassed 100 years, right? And you know, the devil has planted a seed in the people's mind. It's hard to get that destroyed. Because that seed was planted of speaking in tongues, shouting, crying, doing this, that, or the other. Until people are dependent upon that and will not depend upon what God says. Right? So then if for one time tonight, after 100 years, I don't mean you've been listening to it, but I mean for 100 years, you and I have faced those things that were brought from 100 years ago. Because every one of us in our mind, in one way or the other, has always wondered what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. Right? Come on, you didn't wonder about it? No, I know what it is. I shouted. Well, glory, hallelujah. I hope you're right. That's just all I can say.
Right.
So if you get mad at me now, forgive me. Not for telling you the truth, but forgive me for making you mad at me. But if I can make you mad enough, you'll get down to studying a little bit.
Right,
you'll dig in and find out whether I'm right or wrong.
Amen.
But my daddy's this, and my mama's this, and my uncle. That ain't got nothing to do with you. You ain't going to heaven on daddy's religion or mama's religion or uncle's religion or grandma's religion. Well, you're throwing off on my kinfolks. No, I'm not. You are. Because you're finally admitting it. I mean, I love my mother to all heavens. Done everything I could for her while she was alive. But I know my mama could be lost too. And that's what a lot of people don't want to realize. If my mother wasn't born again, she was lost. If my daddy wasn't born again, he was lost. Well, I know my mama's there. Well, okay. Why? What's your reason for it? Come on, I know I'm meddling. What's your reason for thinking your kinfolks are saved? I like what the old man used to say, and we used to, old-timey folks said, you got to be born again. You know. Well, I'm sorry. But face life. Face reality. I don't know where Brother Branham was saved or not. Oh, I don't like that. Well, I wasn't in him.
Right.
I only know about myself.
Amen.
Folks, so you didn't come through like I did when I was sitting there praying and studying and saying, Lord, with the book in my hand saying, this man says there'll be false prophets. What if he's one?
Come on, brother.
That's what I asked the Lord. Oh, bless God, I would never do nothing like that, Brother Dale. Well, okay, all right. You're not me. Forgive me, you're not me. But you know what? I got my answer. And that was in the day that I wasn't born again. I would ask him, I would lay the Bible and the books down and say, Lord, what if this man is a false prophet? Because he said, and you said in your word to deceive the very elect if it was possible. And I said, I got a quote here where that he says that, matter of fact, he'd get the bride so confused he'd have to cut the work short. That I could quote. Because Brother Run said that one day. Huh? You know what he'd say? How many of you know what I'm fixing to say? You've heard it thousands of times. All he would ever answer me and say is, what does the Word say? That's the only answer I'd ever get. But you know what? That was the right answer. That was the greatest answer I could have ever gotten. He could have come down personally and appeared to me and talked to me and told me all these things, and that wouldn't have been as good as what he was kept on saying. He'd say, what does the Word say? Okay, I'll go back and read some more. Then I'll ask you a question again. And I got the same answer. Because you see, I believe in the birth of the Word. I believe all babies are born because of all babies being birthed exactly alike. You know. You know, babies born. You got to have a mama. You got to have a daddy. From one way or the other, where it be, what do you call it? What's those words? Doing it by proxy, whatever you want to do it all by. You know, don't make no difference. You still got one. But do you see what I'm talking about? What is the new birth? The birth of the Word. The birth of the Word. The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now, it's not, I won't call her name, but she came to the house one time and said, I'm going to get baptized because my husband wants me to be. I said, I won't baptize you. You can forget it. So we talked on for a little while, and she said it again, and I said, look, I lost, you know, and all of this stuff. I kind of got a little bit of thought coming to me. I said, you know it's the truth. She said, yes. I said, okay, we'll do it now. Right, we'll go do it now. But, you know, I wouldn't have baptized her. It wouldn't have made no difference. Right. Yeah, but that was, I want to honor her. That's good. That's an honor. But, you know, this is not following Mom and Daddy. Now, come on, folks. This is not following Brother Dale. If you're following Brother Dale, that's what the brother come here years ago. Said, I come from California to come out here to the Lula thing. I said, first off, that's where you goofed up. As far as I was concerned, he ought to stay in California. Because he goofed up by thinking they was some Lula thing. You know, but that's all right. Yeah. I don't think there's no Lula thing. If this ain't it, I want to keep this until that comes. All right, you find it, you find that, we'll go with that, but I'm going to keep this until that comes, okay? Because I've had a good time, you know, in all of my life, and it's always compared. And my new birth has always brought me to that place. Why? Now watch what the prophet goes on to say, number 5, Patmos Vision, 1960, 1204 in the evening service. You've heard this one a lot of times, right? Now ask God to, while we're talking on Revelation, ask him to give you a revelation of this. For it can only be known by revelation. And you can only be saved by revelation. Look at it. You can only be saved by revelation. You have a knowledge of it intellectually, but you can't be saved until it's revealed to you. No man can call Jesus a Christ only by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. No man can say Jesus is a Christ until he has received the Holy Ghost. He might say the pastor says so, the Bible says so. Them are truths. The church says so. That is true. But you don't know yourself until the Holy Ghost has revealed it to you. And he's become in you. No man can call Jesus a Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Not by knowledge, not by intellectual.
Amen. That's right.
So it only can be a personal revelation to you. It's not Brother Branham brought the message. I thank God for the message. But it's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I like the way Brother Richard Wilson says it. The Bible says what the Spirit has to say. What the Spirit has to say. I like that.
Right.
The Holy Spirit. Well now, Brother Dale, a lot of people went off and said the Holy Spirit. Yep. A lot of people anointed with the Holy Ghost and went off and done a lot of things too.
Right.
And come up lying like crazy and saying God told them there's 3 lords and 2 lords and 2 souls and all kind of doctrines. That don't make no difference.
That's right.
I like what Jesus said one day, wasn't it? He said, what's that to thee? Follow thou me?
Right. Amen.
Yeah, I like that point. I ain't trying to get you to follow me. I like what he said.
Right.
Let's follow him.
Right.
Yeah. You say, are you following Brother Branham? I believe what Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
And you know what? I've never found Paul off of following Christ. Have you? And you know, after 40-something years of studying this message, I've never found Brother Branham off of following Christ. Have you?
Right.
I'd be glad to listen to you if you have. Oh, he said this and he said that. Yeah, and what do you say? But now listen, you can only be saved by revelation.
Right.
And it's a revelation of God's Word.
Right.
And the prophet, we gave you the quote there a minute ago, where true prophets will bring true births. Why? Because they'll bring you the Word. But false prophets will bring false births. You ever seen a false birth in a cow? The only man that really knows what he's talking about can tell you where it's false or true. Because that old cow, she'll start getting fat, and she'll start just being mud fat, and she'll look like she's as pregnant as everything in the world could be. And the man that really knows can walk up and punch her in the side, he said, that ain't nothing but a false birth. And you know what'll happen one day? It'll go, and out it goes, and you ain't got nothing but a skinny old cow. Because they can push the side to see where the calf's in there or not. False births. Look around the world today and tell me there's not a world full of false births. Now, we're not talking about natural, right? We're talking about spiritual.
Amen.
It don't matter where you're Hindu, Muslim, whatever it is, it's all false births.
Right.
Well, it all comes from the same core. Right? All right. But get on with it. See? Each age received the word of the age. The Holy Spirit made that word alive. gave them of that age the new birth. Now let's go to another point then on it, for just for tonight. What is the evidence of the new birth? Now, if it's right that you've got water, blood, and life, then remember that the baby's not alive in the mother's womb. I'm glad the prophet brought that. So, yes, it is. It's wiggling and twitching. Yeah, it is. And so is every animal that's in its mama. Same thing. It's twitching and moving. Every animal, every birth, is that baby inside of there is twitching and moving. You say, well, what, they can show you where they're sucking their thumbs and crying? And yep, and show the dog. Right? You say, yeah, but you ain't never seen them where they try to kill them, you know, and cause them to lose the baby. Yeah, and they do the same thing with a dog. Cat. Whatever. Because it's not alive. It's alive in the point that it's moving and blood and et cetera, disconnected from the mama or from the umbilical cord, and it's dead. All right. But see, water, blood, baby, and then life comes into the baby. Just because the baby's born doesn't mean that it's alive. Stillborn babies are born every day, right? Right. So you got to spank it or do something. Something's got to happen to it. All right. But now get the difference of what I'm talking about. When we talk about evidence, everybody wants to find some way, some something, something they done as an evidence. That's the spanking of the baby. See, why not get the baby here? And the life will prove whether or not it's a baby. Right? The life will prove it. It'll make manifest. Because it's got a birth. All right? But now, we talk about then fruits of the Spirit. The people say, well, I believe I'm saved because I got love, joy, peace, goodness in my heart. That's good. But the kind old priest had those things too. Now, I believe, just like I said a while ago, I believe in one God. Always have. How do I check a doctrine? How do you check a doctrine, Brother Dale? By my new birth. Huh? My new birth is based upon one God. It can't be based upon a Trinity, because you wouldn't know which one saved you. What do you mean I saved by that? I said, ah, come on. It's all based upon one God. Three manifestations of the same God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost makes one God. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost makes a new birth. Water, blood, and spirit brings the baby a life in the thing. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. Right. Brother Brown said, always keep those threes running right. Huh? Big man sat on, I'm talking about big body. Yeah. Sat on my porch one time and he said, life comes in the fourth stage. I said, life comes in the third stage, my brother. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. You're reading the prophet's message and got into adoption. But you got to have the life here to get something to where you can adopt it.
Right.
No, Brother Brown. I said, well, you better get ready because I'm going in the house. And Brother Moat was just dying laughing. Because this guy would. He weighed 475 pounds. Most of you know him. And he, you know, he was driving his point. I said, I'm going in the house and get my books. You better get what you're talking about. We're going to talk what the Bible and its prophets said. So when I came back out, I laid it all down. Well, he quit and quietened down. I said, forget it. Because he seen he wasn't going to convert me. Because it's water, blood, and spirit. Adoption goes into water, blood, spirit, and the word carrying you up the stature of a perfect man. That's adoption, right? Four stages. But it's only three stages to the birth. We done read it there a while ago. the third three messages of the last 3 ages completes the birth. All right. So you can do all of these things that we talk about and still not be born again. I gave them to you there the other day. And look what, let's see. Be number 6, Brother Joe, or Brother Anderson. We went through this and go through it through each age. God has allotted so much word. And the church, he gets it all confused up. Then he sends a prophet among them and vindicates the word. It's just like any other time we speak today and see the, we speak today and say the Methodist. Luther says you believe. That's all you have to do. You're justified by faith. Believe it. Many said they believed and didn't have it. All right. Hey, it's your prophet. We know that. Along came Wesley with what called second work of grace, sanctification. All that shouts and are sanctified has got it. Many shouted and didn't have it. Along come the Pentecost, said all that speaks with tongues has got it. Many spoke with tongues and didn't have it. Huh? Along come Christian Science and says it's love, the fruit of the Spirit. Many of them shows fruits of the Spirit and don't have it. Now, you know what he connects that to when he gets to that point. He said, what about the kind old priest? Who dedicated you babies? Who loaned you money when you needed all this? Who took care of you? Who fed you? And said, all Jesus ever done is just took and plaited a rope and run them out of the temple. Right? You know what he's getting to, right? But look. Down to number 7. What shall we do with Jesus called Christ, 64:1-26? The evidence, as I said the other day, we try to place evidence. Luther said, believe and walk out. The devil believes too. Wesley said, shout and you got it. But he found out he didn't. That doesn't mean Wesley and him didn't have the new birth. You know what he's saying. Come on. Pentecost said, speak in tongues and you got it. They didn't. Christian Science says, love, you got the fruit of the Spirit, but they haven't. They deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. What is the evidence of it? When that Spirit that's in you can punctuate every promise with an amen. Now that does away with all the shouting, all of this and all of this out of the other. All that's well and good. We believe in every bit of it because that's just your nature. And Brother Branham even made a statement this way one time. He said, where you're born again at has a lot to do with you even after you're born again. He said, if you're born again in an emotional church, you'll be emotional. He said, if you're born again in kind of a formal type of church, he said, you'll be that way. Now, if you want that quote, I'll be glad to find it. Look, what is the evidence of it? When that Spirit that's in you can punctuate every promise with an amen. And God will confirm it. See, so you got God confirming it, you believing it, right? That's exactly the way it was with Jesus Christ. Now look what he said. You read it. So in Jesus Christ, what was it? The Spirit of in him punctuate every word, and then God confirmed it. All right? Yes. They had more fruits of the Spirit. They had all kind of evidences. You can pin any evidence down to anything. You can't, pin any evidence down to anything. But God himself manifesting his word, that's the only true evidence that there is that you're a Christian. How can you be a Christian when... Now go on, let me just say some more quotes that are laying there if you want them. Brother Brown said, how can God deny his word? He said, can God deny his own word? He said, well, then how can the Spirit of God be in you and deny his word? Right, he's playing around with it, right? Okay, go ahead to the next one. Jesus came and called 64:2-13. Who has the fruit of the Spirit there? And he's talking about, you know, not the fruit of the Spirit, not speaking in tongues and shouting. You say then, Brother Branham, what is the evidence? What is the evidence? The vindication of the word in the hour. The vindication of the word in the hour. Read all in between there and come down. Look, Luther had the evidence of his age, Wesley of his age, Pentecost of his age, but we're in another age. Those things are good, but like the baby has got a finger and an eye and a nose, but after a while he has to become a human being. He has to become a matured child to then be born, have a soul, body, spirit, and can move around. Tying it all together with where we're at, all right? Look at the next one. What is the evidence? Message, and when their eyes were opened, they knew him, 1964:416. But what is the evidence of a believer? That will but believe the identified word of the hour. It's always been that way. Okay. People get it scrupled up in all kind of traditions and religion and denominations and education and so forth. But God comes along with his word and confirms it for the hour. That's the evidence. All right, then, Brother Dale. Then I believe Brother Brown's message. That means I've got the evidence. Let me put it this way. To believe Brother Brown's message is wonderful. But do you believe Luther's message?
Right.
Or the just shall live by faith? Do you believe Wesley's message? Now, we're not talking about the fanaticisms that went with it and all the false doctrines and the Trinitarianisms and the garbage, right? Come on. Luther taught a message of the just shall live by faith, and that's Bible. That was the only way in the body. And you come along today and say, I don't believe what Luther taught and what Wesley taught. But I got the new birth. I believe the message of the age. I can prove it to you. I can prove to you you're anointed ones, what you are. You sure won't like that. But that's as truth as I can be. Because only anointed ones will follow that line of thought. Anointed ones will deny other ages as to having the new birth and try to base everything upon them having the new birth. Okay? Now look what he says. What is the evidence of a believer? We covered that one. Look what he says now, broken sisters. 1964:726, the evening service. Today I was talking with a good friend, Dr. Lee Vail, who is present now, and he's quite a theologian. And so we usually have some pretty good discussions on the scripture, verse mark. He asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago. I said, no, can't see that. He said, neither do I. Said, though I have been taught that. He said, what would you think would be an evidence? I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of is love. So we got to talking on that. And I thought that sounded pretty good. So I just held that, if a man has got love. But one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out. Now this is your prophet, okay? He said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the Word. Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the Word. Right. So that's the Holy Ghost giving you a clear understanding of the Word, right? Okay. Then he goes down, the Holy Ghost is upon you, he shall reveal these things that I've taught you and show you things to come. So there is the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost. He has never told me anything wrong yet. That it's the evidence of the Holy Ghost is he who can believe the word, you can receive it. Because Jesus never said, when the Holy Ghost is come, you'll speak with tongues. Now show me in the Bible, read it. He never said the Holy Ghost come, you'd do any of those things. But he said he will take these things of mine and show them to you, and will show you things that is to come. So there is the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost according to Jesus himself. Right? According to Jesus himself. All right? So now where does that put us? Questions and answers. 1964, 8:23, the evening service. What is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? Now that would have been questions and answers. Let's see, broken cistern would have been 7:28. This is 8:23. So this is the same year a little later on. What is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come, see, he will show you things to come. See, he'll perfect it. Perfect it, man, maids won't do it, and he is the Word. And when the Holy Ghost is come, he will identify himself in you with the Scripture, and that is the true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, because it is the Word. Now look, what if you spoke with tongues? I just want to ask that. Jesus said when the Holy Ghost come, what he would do, but what if you spoke with tongues, jumped up and down, shouted and everything else, and then come to the Word, and I'll tell you the baptism of proved to you by the Scripture, as I have, that the baptism using the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is absolutely a misunderstanding in the Scripture. Nobody was ever baptized like that. You go ahead and hang with it anyhow. Could you tell me the Holy Spirit in you would do a thing like that? How can it deny its own Word? Simple language, right? How can it deny its own Word? Let's see. One more. Well, let's leave that off. We won't go on no further. Would you stop right there on the evidence? As what? Whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Now, what if it agrees so long and quits? Now, that's not what he's talking about, right? Whether or not it keeps on agreeing with the Word. Now, Jesus agreed with every word. So now, if I've tore down your doctrine or thought tonight of what you believe the new birth is, then you need to do something about it. And getting mad at me won't help it. But you know, that's what it is. Ain't nobody gets mad at Jesus for saying it. You know, you ever notice that? You notice that people, you can read what Brother Branham says to them and they won't get mad at him. They get mad at you for reading it. You're a smart aleck. You found it. Found it. I found what he said. Why don't you get mad at him? Why don't you get upset with him? Why ain't you upset with God? God's the one that said it. I've always said it this way, and I don't mind saying it. If there is a God, that's not a question on my end. I don't have a problem with it. But if there is a God and he can't keep his word straight, then what are we going to look for? Or what are we going to talk about? But if he can keep his word straight, and it's been straight all the way through, and the birth has always been the same, no matter what age it was in, the new birth was the same. It was the birth of the Word of that age. And so is it today. Today you can't depend upon just, I repented of my sins. That's wonderful. I got sanctified. I quit all these things and all that. That's wonderful. But we got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If we don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're still in a lost condition. Well, now, wait a minute. You said there, you gave us Sunday words. You're talking about, yeah, that's right. Brother Brown said you have eternal life at just believing. But then you put together all the other things of where he said even at sanctification, you're just begotten. You're not even converted yet. That was the next quote that was fixing to come up. He said, you're not even converted yet. He told Peter, he said, after thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. if it was only the shouting, the screaming, the crying, the believing, then why did Jesus have to die? Because the disciples had all of it. But that's where you wouldn't like to point, that there was Judas Iscariot. And you know that Judas Iscariot, according to the church age book, and according to the prophet giving you the scripture there, his name was written in heaven. Because your name is written when you're a believer. Come on, I can show you that because you know it. Judas was right there with him until the Holy Ghost entered into him. And then he went out and done what he done. But you know what I like about him? You know what I like about Judas? He found out what he'd done. He found out he had denied the Lord Jesus. And he had enough gumption to go hang himself. And yet we sit down in church and holler, glory, hallelujah, I believe the prophet's message, shouting and everything else is all it is. Brother Dale, you just don't believe in it because you're an old die-hide Baptist. Hey, we Baptists used to shout a little bit too, you know. You better understand, Brother Brown, will come from it. Yeah? I've been to foot washings, communion in a Baptist church. How many of you ever went to them, hardly? Brother Dick and them went one time and they had a communion and had the foot washing. Didn't have no water in the pan. Had a towel. I'm not throwing off on that church. Come on. That's people. That's human beings. That's just like me and you. But what I'm saying is, you see how far we drift away from the Word. Yeah. It just, see, when you do that, and after, like I said, a hundred years, I sat there thinking, I said, Satan, for 100 years over, you've been teaching people about these evidences and signs and shoutings and cryings and believings and all that. And God has been trying to get us to get to the birth of the Word. Well, Brother Dale, I just don't have a new birth to say that it was on a certain day. Well, I believe that if you'll ask God, He'll speak to you about it and give it to you, and you'll know it. And I was asked Sunday, how do you know, Brother Dale, what you got was the new birth? Well, you know the best thing I can say to you? Because I've shouted, I've cried. I ain't never spoke in tongues. Just because I didn't ever try to, I guess. But you know what? I've always believed if there is a God, that He'd be able to keep His word straight enough. The word, and if I believed it, He would come to that word and honor it. I never saw great lights flashing, great things happening when I received the new birth. My wife and I received it at the same time. I was crying, yes. I've done that before. I saw God when I was 11 years old in a church. I never counted that as salvation. I saw a lot of things when I was in the Baptist church. You know, we believed in praying for the sick and stuff back then. And I tried to live a good life. I've told you about it. An old deacon standing there looking at the women come out of the off of a bus that they was coming to sing for us one night. And this old man there was 65. Not a, he wasn't an old man. He was 65. And then there, just looking at him, I just looked him straight in the eye and I said, that ain't right. You're not supposed to look like that. This is my brother-in-law's daddy. I said, you're not supposed to look like that. He said, the Bible said, look on God's heritage. I said, it's don't say lust after it. I didn't play back there. I sat in the deacon board and told him, I said, brother, there's something wrong around here. I said, there's more money due. I take it up and count it, so I know what's coming in. There's more money due tithe out of this deacon board than there is coming in that offering plate upstairs. Because I believed what God said. He said, try me and see. I believed it. I still believe his word. I feast on his word. I've been in a revival then ever since I come in this message. But did you see something fly? No. It was a knowledge. And I know that ain't going to go over with most people because they got to have more than that. You know what? Brother Branham said, God knows what you need. Now, you mind if I quote him some? He said, he knows what you need. And he said, if you want to speak in tongues, you just lay there long enough and he'll let you speak in tongues. He said, because he's a good God. Now, he wasn't against crying and shouting and doing things, then, was he? But you see, all at once, the word that I had studied so long just began to unveil.
Amen.
And I seen Christ right in his word. I seen it then for myself. Before then, I was taking what Brother Branham had to say about it. But when that happened,
hallelujah.
I had something on my own then.
Amen.
Well, you think everybody... No, because see, it's according to your emotional system. I explained that a while ago. It's according to your emotional system. And like I said, you want these quotes? Call me, whatever. Brother Brown said, God's a good God. He said, he knows you want to speak in tongues. He said, you just lay there long enough and he'll let you. But all of that doing, we read it, that don't have to be the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost can't deny his word. Now let me put one more with it. I didn't bring the quote. But Brother Branham said, the way you know whether a preacher's right or not is whether he's staying with the word. Continually staying with the word. He said, then you just check out what he's saying. I'm just paraphrasing it, but you just check what he's saying and see if it's right. Because he can't tell you something wrong. Brother L, I heard you say, now that's mistakes I make as human, I'm sorry. But you can't deny the word. So you check the preacher by the word. That's what I was asking God. This man says, prophets will come. What if he's one of them? Because, you know, I go down the street a while there and somebody will say, prophets will come. And they're false. And I know that and was because he's off the word. But only the Holy Ghost can put the word together. That's what I love about him. Only the Holy Ghost can put the word together. You know what, I've been called an intellectual Baptist because of that. And see, you wouldn't know what that meant if you hadn't been there and studied and been. It just simply meant that I had taken the letter of the word and figured it out. Brother Brown said, you better leave them Baptists alone. He said, they'll tie you up in that scripture. Because you see, they'd take it and read it right out of the word to you. And you can fall over and shout and glory, hallelujah, all you want to. It ain't going to change them. But just stay right there with the word. It is also written. Come on, brothers. What is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Whether or not the Spirit of God in you agrees with the word. And if the Spirit of God is in you, he will always agree with the word. He will never deny his word. That's why Brother Branham said, if you can find it in this Bible, go before God and said, if he won't fulfill it, you can call him a liar. Now that's how strong he believed in the word. Jesus sowed. It took him 3.5 years to sow down enough scripture into those people for them to get born again. Now, that's something, man. It took him 3.5 years, let's stand, to be able to get the people to a place. What about it? What we got?
119 in the red book.
119 in the red book. Anybody have a need? The only thing I say to you is one thing. If you don't know whether or not you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, never stop seeking.
That's right.
It ain't important who's the president. I listened the other day, and Brother Brandon, the way he started out talking, we was on the tape, and the way he started out talking, it was just like he was going to name him. He said, who's going to be the president? And I thought, he's fixing to tell them who's going to be the president. And you know what he said? He said, even if I could tell you, he said, the whole world would flock at the door and all the newspapers would print. William Branham said so-and-so is going to be president. I thought, oh God. There stood a prophet that could have told them. He could have told them who was going to be that. God would have given him. But he could stand there and preach the word, and it wouldn't even be put in a newspaper that so many people got saved and so many people got healed. The dead was raised. Never was put in a newspaper. But he said if you could tell who was going to be president, he said your name would be in the paper and be printed all over. What about it? I told him one time in a minister's meeting, I said, you want to know who's going to be president? I'm going to tell you, or something like that, or what they're doing. Or where was we at? Fellowship meeting, I guess, yeah. And boy, everybody got to looking. I said, you want me to tell you? I can tell you who's going to be the president. Everybody got real quiet and everything. I said, because the Bible says I put in kings and I take out kings. The one God wants in there is going to be the one. They all seen what I'm talking about. He's the one that knows. Go ahead, brother.
119, the red book.
119. Anybody have a need?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Somebody stole her.
Praising my Savior.
And we didn't want a new pocketbook with new credit cards in it and new all kinds of things, right?
Okay.
We want her pocketbook back. So we asked God. You know what? It came back. Brother Collie standing there. We're standing right here preaching. Man broke in his house and stole his gun. When I heard about it the next day at work, it just come over him and I said, them guns will come back. You know what? He got his guns back.
So,
if we want his ring, we ask for his ring. Not a substitute. I've got a couple at the house he can have, you know. There's all kind of made up things. But it ain't the one. I had guns. I could have given Brother Collie guns, but that wasn't what we asked for. So we asked for God, right? How many agree? You agree? All right. But what if it don't happen? I ain't got to worry about it. I go buy him another one. I ain't got to worry about it. But what if it comes back? Now what are you going to say? What are you going to say about it when it comes? Oh, I was just, okay, thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe that you'll show our brother where this ring is at, or somebody that has stole it, or whatever has happened to it, that it will be returned. Because we ask you and we believe you. You said, ask and you shall receive. We don't want a substitute. We want the real. We thank you. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You believe it that way?
This is my story.
You don't accept a substitute.
My song, praising my Savior.
Ask God to keep his word. That's all you're asking?
This is my story.
Well, we're in a time now, Brother Dale, where that, you know, story. We can afford to lose these things. That ain't got
praising
nothing to do with
my Savior all the day long.
Not a thing.
Perfect submission, perfect delight.
Brother Joe has got a problem with his back. He hurt his back the other day.
Visions of rest.
And little Olivia wants to stand in his place and pray for him. All right. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we agree with our little sister that by your stripes, Brother Joe's healed. And we thank you. We love you. And we believe you in Jesus' name.
This is my story.
See, we don't accept a substitute.
This is my song.
We only want what God told us.
Praising my Savior.
And he said if we believe it, we can have it.
This is my story.
Well, there's a lot of people in here sick tonight, Brother Dale. I agree with you.
Praising my Savior all the day long.
Then don't you think we ought to have more signs and wonders among us? I agree with you. Don't you want God to move on the scene and deliver all of us? I agree with you. Don't you want all those people's names that's on that list downstairs that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Don't you want all of them to say yes? I agree with you.
Lost in his love.
But you can't make God do it.
This is my story.
It's not demanding God to do it.
This is my story.
When you take his word, it's not demanding.
Praising my Savior.
Don't ever approach it and you demand something to take place.
This is my story.
It's asking him.
This is my song.
It's asking him
praising
to do what he said.
My Savior.
You know what I like is the story that was told that time about the fella, you know, that the little boy wanted a bicycle for Christmas. Remember the story? He wanted a bicycle. And he kept asking his daddy and them, did you get me a bicycle? Well, the daddy lost his job. And he told his little boy, said, son, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get that bicycle for you or not. Little boy was sad. Little fella was really sad. He was come to Christmas time, he was really sad. Christmas morning he looked and there sat a bicycle. He said, Daddy, you told me when you lost your job that you didn't think you'd have enough money to be able to buy me a bicycle. He said, that's right, son. Said, I'd already bought the bicycle before I lost my job. See, God's already got everything that we have need of. We just need to thank him. You can't demand him. You know the man I told you, this fella said, I'm working on commanding the Lord so the devil don't bother me no more. Boy, I just went the other way and I never talked to that guy anymore because I was talking to the devil. And I didn't care nothing about that kind of language. He said, well, the Bible says, command ye me. That's what the Bible says. That's not commanding God. When you ask God and believe it, you just ask him and believe it. He can't fail to keep his word. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Sing it unto him and thank him back. moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you. You love it?
Singing, I love you, Lord.
Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. It's just like, well, I believe it was Wade the other day that when he was preaching and said, and Brother Branham said it. He said, if God tells you, ask God for something, he says no. He said, that's the greatest answer you could ever get. He said, but no, I want it. He says no. Because, you see, he knows what you do with what you're asking. Those people asked Brother Branham, said, where's an oil well? He said he picked up that they were going to, they told him, oh, we'll do this and we'll give them money, we'll do that. But he realized they wouldn't do it. He wouldn't tell them. He said they went out and they dug wells around, got a little bit of sputter, you know. Somebody come in that didn't, he said, I knew where the oil was. Somebody come in that had nothing to do with the church or anything, sat down and hit the gusher. He said, because they had the wrong attitude. I told you when we was over in the Philippines, and brothers came to me one night, and I was already scheduled. They had me scheduled to preach. Brother Ernie went one way, and I went the other way. I was trying to cover a lot of churches, and we did. And Brother Ernie and Brother Vernon came and said, we want to talk to you. Said, you're scheduled to preach on Friday night over at Brother So-and-so's. And I said, okay, yeah. All right. I didn't know where in the world that was or who he was, you know. But I said, okay, that's all right. But said, we want to tell you one thing. He said, he wants to try to get people together and take up a lot of money. Because he knew, see, we wouldn't take it, you know. They want to get a lot of money because he wants to buy a bunch of goats. Said, because there's a lot of money that the Germans left here in the Philippines. Tons and tons of gold that they had captured and stuff. And said he wanted to get some goats to sacrifice to the gods to try to find in favor to find that gold. I said, I ain't going. I ain't going, brothers. Thank you for telling me. They said, well, we knew you wouldn't, but we had to tell you. I said, no, not going. Won't be no part of that. Wouldn't have mattered if it had been a shipload of gold out there. That wouldn't have mattered to me. They ain't going. You see, you don't use God's gifts in the wrong way. I've tried my best to explain to ministers the same gift that I have to preach the gospel, I could sell fried ice cream to an Eskimo. I know what a gift is. You ever deal with me about buying something and you'll find out that I'll tell you my price and I'll never change. Because it didn't matter to me, I'd give it to you before I changed my price. Because I ain't going to use my gift. Not for doing something for the world. My gift is to preach the gospel. And sometimes I'm so embarrassed in my own self. My sincerity is not enough. I need more sincerity. I need more, you know, humbleness before the Lord. I know that. But I know how gracious He is. Because He's never failed me yet. And it wouldn't matter to me to preach to 10 or to 10 million. It's just the same thing. Thank God for the truth. Right? Father, we just commit everything into your hands. And what we've tried to say tonight, we've tried to make it to understand. We believe in you, Lord, and what you can do, that you can give the new birth right all at one time to somebody. We believe that. But we believe most of the time it doesn't come that way. It takes a time, and we definitely believe, Lord, in a definite time of justification, that when we repented of our sins, a definite time, just like it would be when the water broke of the woman. We believe in a definite time of sanctification, to cleanse in our lives and setting us aside, just like it would be when the woman with the blood, the issue that comes forth. We believe in a new birth. We believe in you, Lord, bringing your own life and letting it come and live inside of each and every one of us. We know that our lives are not worthy of anything. And forgive us, Lord, of all of the uncleanness and things that's within us. Sanctify us. Set us aside for you, Lord. Help us to be what you want us to be. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Remember the Bible study Saturday, and we're going to be talking on tithing. So we're going to tape it. But we've been taping it if you want to hear these. I'm just saying, if you want to hear, we've been taping it. So all you got to do is ask Brother Joe. If you can't come to the Bible study, ask Brother Joe. He'll make you a copy of any of the services because we've been taping it. Now, we may be playing and might call names that sometimes it would be bad to get out, but that's all right. That's our own little private time of Bible study. All right? So you just do that. All right. You're dismissed. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.